Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown, coming to you on a very, very, very special day, a Wednesday. The first time we've come to you on a Wednesday, and of course, there's a very special reason why. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and no reason for us to be here and do a show while there are other NFL games going on at the same time and you're busy eating your Thanksgiving turkey. But we figured, hey, there are three games on Thursday and then a full slate of games on Sunday, another one on Monday. We weren't going to go without a show this week. How about come to you on Wednesday? And it's a pleasure to be with you once again here on the Fantasy Lowdown. My name is Brian Lowe. We've been coming to you every week during this 2008 season here on Patriots.com radio and web radio at Patriots.com is, of course, the email address here. We'd love to hear from you with any of your fantasy thoughts, fantasy questions as we get into week number 13 here of the NFL season and week number 13 of the fantasy season. I hear from a few people here and there who their leagues have early playoff weeks, including starting this week and maybe go an extra round or start a week earlier or end a week earlier than other leagues do. But, pretty much your standard league still has a couple more regular season weeks to go. And at this point, you maybe have clinched a playoff spot. Maybe you're still in the mix. Maybe you're out of it. That would be disappointing. But hence, that is the way the fantasy football world goes, kind of like the NFL season. The St. Louis Rams knew pretty early on that they were going to be completely out of it. The Bengals, I guess, could probably say the same thing. Obviously, the Detroit Lions, kind of the same way sometimes in the fantasy end of things, where you can have a really slow start and then be out of it, unfortunately, by mid-October and just try to tread water, or if you're in a keeper league, try to see what's in store for the next year. But hopefully, as you're listening, you have a lot of decisions to make this week, and it's a big week for you as you try to finagle that playoff positioning, playoff seating. So I wish you luck in that, and I'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address. One of the first things I'd like to do is actually apologize to a couple of people who emailed us last week during the show, and I actually didn't get to the emails last week. We had a little bit of a mix-up on the emails. And Neil from Winnipeg and Todd in Jacksonville both sent me emails during the show with some stardom or sit-em questions for week number 12, which was last week. Didn't get to them, and I do apologize to both of you for not getting to those. And thank you for sending me your questions. No reason to go through them right now. But Neil from Winnipeg, Todd in Jacksonville, definitely hope you send in your emails, send in your thoughts again, maybe even if you're listening today. And we do have some emails already in the inbox we're going to get to. We're also going to talk actually face-to-face with one of our frequent emailers who happens to be in the building. So we'll talk to Matt in just a bit. We'll get some of his thoughts more so than just when he sends his email. So tune in for that. A couple of notes. We definitely want to get into the Thanksgiving games tomorrow, three games that actually, to be honest, they have more appeal from a fantasy standpoint than an NFL standpoint. I don't think there's much two ways about that. Tennessee, Detroit, Dallas, Seattle, and Philadelphia, Arizona. When you talk about the Tennessee-Detroit game, if it was 11-0 versus 0-11, it would have had much more appeal from a football standpoint than it does now. Tennessee already has a loss. There's no real drama there anymore. But from a fantasy standpoint, lots of little storylines to go through. The Tennessee running game, Lendale White didn't get a lot of action last week. It's been kind of an up-and-down year for him as far as number of carries, though he has produced. But he had a lot to say after the game, really saying, I didn't really care much. I only got a couple of touches. I wasn't even paying attention to what was going on. Not exactly what you'd like to hear if you're a Lendale White owner. because you don't know what his status is going to be. However, it seems that he and Jeff Fisher cleared the air. So if Lendale White and or Chris Johnson are in your are on your roster, you're probably going to want to start them against the Detroit Lions defense that is 31st in the league overall and 32nd against the run. Dallas-Seattle, I was talking last week about how amped up I was for the Dallas offense, and I figured that they were really going to come through and that Terrell Owens would have his biggest game of the year, and he did last week against San Francisco. No reason to think it's going to be slowed down this week. They play Seattle, another team with just a miserable defense, miserable overall, and really nothing much to talk about there with that Seattle team. I love the Dallas offense once again this week. The one very interesting point about Seattle, very interesting point that I just read about a little while ago, is the Seattle running game. Julius Jones is expected to get the start, get back into the starting lineup. Despite what Maurice Morris did last week, he had an excellent game, hit 100 yards for Seattle last week. Julius Jones is going to get the start and is likely to, you know, maybe have an opportunity to get a good number of carries. And the reason he's going to be the guy this week, according to Mike Holmgren, is vengeance. Vengeance is really why he's going to get the start, playing against his former team. And you got to figure that Mike Holmgren may have something there, maybe thinking that this is going to be an opportunity for Julius Jones to get a little bit of momentum there. And if you're a fantasy owner of Julius Jones, you're going to want to keep that in mind as you set your lineup for the Thanksgiving games. And then Philadelphia, Arizona, certainly this is a team, this is a game with fantasy implications all around. Arizona, one of the most high-flying offenses in the league. Kurt Warner looking at an MVP season. Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, even Steve Breston. He's got weapons all over the place. We've talked in the past, these past few weeks, about their running game. Tim Hightower getting more of the action over Edgerrin James. Some frustration there if you're an Edgerrin James owner. But the Arizona offense, I have to think, is going to continue to perform well this week. And then for Philadelphia, you know, you had the whole Donovan McNabb situation last week where he's benched at halftime. Looked terrible, absolutely terrible during that game. And and Kevin Kolb didn't look any better. Can Donovan McNabb, does Donovan McNabb have anything left? I'm talking about for this current season or even in his career, his fantasy career. What more does he have to offer? So we want to hear what you have to say about that. And do you have Donovan McNabb on your team? Are you willing to start him? Even though Andy Reid has given him the nod as the starter, do you want to start him if you have him on your team? So those are some of the storylines for the Thanksgiving games that we'll get to. And, you know, we've talked in the last couple weeks since a Thursday game has been implemented, one game each week. That you've got to keep those games in mind as you plan out your lineup Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon. Well, three games now. That's you know, about a fifth of the NFL slate takes place on Thursday. So most likely you've got someone on your roster out of those six teams. So you've got some work to do over these next 24 hours, actually less than 24 hours at this point, to get your lineup set to go. Definitely some other storylines around the NFL that have fantasy implications, and we start in Cleveland. Brady Quinn, done for the season. Derek Anderson, back in. It's been a terrible year for the Cleveland Browns. Absolutely terrible year. A few guys who, from a fantasy standpoint, have done okay. Kellen Winslow would be one, and Jamal Lewis has had his moments, nothing great. But at the quarterback spot, you know, Derek Anderson didn't do much, and then he's benched, and Brady Quinn comes in a couple weeks ago. That Thursday night performance against Denver was a real good one, certainly from the standpoint of a player's first NFL game, and, you know, Brady Quinn opened some eyes there, but it's been kind of poor since then. Maybe it was injury-related, but Brady Quinn is done, and, you know, obviously one of the NFL storylines next offseason going into 2009 will be that Cleveland quarterback situation. Do they stick with Brady Quinn? Do they stick with Derek Anderson? Do they trade one? How does that all work out? But from an immediate standpoint, from an immediate fantasy standpoint, I'm interested in hearing what you think about Derek Anderson. He was the darling of last season, the out-of-nowhere superstar, making the All-Pro, making the Pro Bowl. Sort of like what Matt Castle is doing right now. Cleveland hosts Indianapolis this Sunday. Indianapolis with you know, a suspect defense, I guess you could say, but they're certainly improving. Does Derek Anderson have anything in him from a fantasy standpoint this week against Indianapolis? That's a great question. That's what I want to hear from you. If you have a, if you're dealing with the Cleveland, quarterback situation, definitely want to hear about that. Here in New England, with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town to face the Patriots, Willie Parker is listed as questionable. Actually, he's Mike Tomlin has said he's questionable on the official injury report, which just came out moments ago. Willie Parker, with his knee injury, did not participate. It looks unlikely, I'd say. I'd say unlikely that Willie Parker plays in this game on Sunday, just based on his injury history, based on what Mike Tomlin has said and not practicing today, which pushes Mwelde Moore right back into the focus. And on one of my teams this year, I didn't have Willie Parker, but I did pick up Mwelde Moore shortly after Rashard Mendenhall went down. I was high on Rashard Mendenhall coming into the season. In his first real opportunity, I think it was a Monday Night Football game back in, it must have been late September, early October, he goes down with a season-ending injury. And with Willie Parker having the injury situation that he's had all year, Mwelde Moore vaults right into the mix. And he's been a more than capable guy on the weeks that Willie Parker doesn't play. So if you have Willie Parker, you certainly are fortunate if you handcuffed him with Mwelde Moore and vice versa. If you only have Willie Parker, you're frustrated on these occasions where he turns out he's going to be questionable. But then if you have Mwelde Moore only, definitely a worthwhile option coming out of nowhere. So the question is, this Patriots run D, which has done pretty well this year, what kind of job can they do against Mwelde Moore this week? Reggie Bush, it looks like he will make a return this week. He's missed a handful of games dating back to when they went to London about a month ago. And New Orleans, coming off that big win over Green Bay, just a huge offensive performance. They visit Tampa Bay, and the Buccaneers have, one of the more stingy defenses in the league. So Reggie Bush, is he going to be limited? Is he going to play, only get a few touches, playing against a tough defense? I wouldn't feel comfortable starting him just yet, but a good sign if you're looking towards upcoming fantasy playoff weeks that Reggie Bush would get some carries in him this week and maybe be back to full steam in another week or two. A couple of running back combinations that I feel are going to be strong this week. We've talked about Tennessee, Lendale White, Chris Johnson. I feel like whoever gets the carries among those two for Tennessee is going to do well. Detroit has one of the worst run defenses in the league. They're one of the worst teams overall. I look for a big performance out of those running backs for Tennessee this week, Lendale White and Chris Johnson. In my opinion, it's more Chris Johnson, more of a Chris Johnson week, just because we've seen what happened with Lendale White the other day. But keep in mind, Lendale White was a touchdown machine early on in the season, still could get some of those touchdown carries in. If you're a team that's playing Detroit, you know they're going to be touchdowns scored. You got to figure Tennessee is going to score touchdowns. Maybe it gets split around with those running backs, with Kerry Collins and Justin Gage, Bo Scaife, guys like that, Algie Crumpler. But that's a strong matchup from the Tennessee running back situation. Here's another one that I'm high on this week: Justin Fargas and Darren McFadden of Oakland. Oakland coming off that Denver win. And it kind of blows you away, but I was reading somewhere the other day where, with the AFC West as bad as it is, with Denver on top of just having lost to Oakland, San Diego in second place with only 4 wins, it's not like Oakland isn't even eliminated yet. Believe it or not, they still have something to play for. They're playing against Kansas City in the same division, another bad team. Kansas City has the absolute last-ranked run D in the league. It looks like Darren McFadden's role is increasing. A lot of hype for him coming into the year, especially based on what Adrian Peterson did last year and some comparisons there. Highly touted running back entering the league. Peterson absolutely tore it up last year, and haven't seen quite the same from Darren McFadden. It would be great for Darren McFadden owners if he can finish this season with a flurry, and especially if you are in a keeper league, the chance to keep Darren McFadden for next year and coming off of a strong end to this year's season. But both of those guys, I think if Fargas and McFadden kind of split carries this week, I think both are capable guys this week going against Kansas City. Another terrible team. Some of these teams with terrible run defenses, they prove not to be a fluke each and every week. No fluke. If you've got guys on those teams, playing against these terrible defenses, you are in luck. So once again, the Thanksgiving Day games, Tennessee at Detroit, Seattle at Dallas, Arizona at Philadelphia, and like I said at the top, much better for fantasy implications than actual football implications. And let's face it, when you're enjoying Thanksgiving football, you're enjoying it not just for the actual football that's being played, but for fantasy purposes and all that as well. So should be an interesting day as far as that's concerned. And, you know, unfortunately, not even a real appealing Monday night game this week. Jacksonville at Houston, another one that, you know, from a football standpoint, not a great game, but obviously some fantasy implications there. Webradio at Patriots.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you, who to start, who to sit. That's what we typically do, and we'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple emails already. Like I said, one of our emailers, Matt, is going to be joining us in the studio in just a little while. We'll get his thoughts on how his teams are doing. He can maybe rip me on how poorly my advice to him has been, if that is the case. Hey, I'll take it if that's the case. We will be right back after this here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile in hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio on a week 13 of the NFL season. We're coming to you on a Wednesday instead of our typical Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Patriots.com Radio, web radio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you here on the Fantasy Lowdown as you go through your thoughts on who to start and who to sit for your team going into week 13. Our esteemed producer Jason has a few for me as well. And we do have some emails we're going to get to, but, you know, I really want to help out Jason. He helps me out all the time, you know, certainly as far as putting our show on. So I really want to get, you know, get some good answers to Jason for his questions here. And he's got some good ones. Even though maybe he can't really spell some of the names of the players on his team all that well, he, you know, we're real high tech here in 2008. He wrote down, you know, the players that, you know, he wants to ask me about. Plexico Burress versus Kevin Walter. Plexico Burress, what a frustrating guy. I mean, it's one thing when players are injured and they get hurt on the field and all that. Well, Plexico Burress has injuries, but then he also has all this other nonsense, all this other baggage that leads to some, you know, questionable, you know, he's out for this, you know, suspended for a game or going to miss the first quarter or it all gets into his head and all that. Too much to deal with, you know, too much to deal with. But there's something about the Giants and the way they're playing and certainly Plexico Burress, he comes through. He comes through when he plays. And with the Giants this week, Giants are at Washington. A good NFC battle. Kevin Walter with Houston going against Jacksonville. You know, you gotta give the edge at this point to the Giants players, I guess. The Giants offense is doing well. And you probably have to give the edge there, even though Kevin Walter, I like what he's been able to do. I'd give the edge there to Plex. Defense, here's a question. Defense, Philly or Dallas? Dallas playing Seattle tomorrow, and Philly is playing Philly against Arizona tomorrow. Both games on Thursday. So whatever your decision is, you will live or die with it and go to sleep tomorrow night, Jason, knowing which way it goes. There's no way you can start the Philadelphia defense tomorrow. There's no way. I think this is my biggest landslide question here. Dallas hosting Seattle. I mean, sure, Mike Holmgren feels that Seattle running back Julius Jones can have a big vengeance game, and that may be true, and maybe you'll live with that. I don't see the Seattle passing game doing anything. I see Dallas scoring on defense. No question about it right there, Jason. Go Dallas instead of Philly. An interesting one here, Kevin Faulk or Ryan Grant. Kevin Faulk with the Patriots going against Pittsburgh, and the Packers are hosting Carolina. Now, in general, most weeks, even though Ryan Grant has had a disappointing year, you'd still say, hey, he's the number one back for a pretty good offense. You're going to go Ryan Grant. Well, they're playing against Carolina, which other than last week, you know, they've got a pretty good D. Now, Kevin Faulk, my initial thoughts on the Patriots this week are I wouldn't touch any of their running backs. But I do think that Kevin Faulk could play a big role this week in that passing game. I think it's going to be a week where Matt Castle is going to have to get rid of the ball very quickly. And Kevin Faulk sometimes is the outlet that he would go to in those situations, especially on third down. That's a tight one. You know, I still think you've got to give the edge to Ryan Grant there. But don't rule out Kevin Faulk. Don't rule out Kevin Faulk. If you've got an opportunity to wait until Sunday on that one, you know, monitor a few things. Think that one over. But I'd probably give the edge to Ryan Grant. And then Jason Campbell or Jake Delhomme, you're probably looking at Jake Delhomme in this case. I'm not a big Jason Campbell guy. He's had a couple of good performances. Not a huge Jake Delhomme guy either, but I think I like the matchup better. I don't really like the Washington matchup against the Giants, especially the way the Giants are playing. I think Campbell would be looking at a couple of interceptions in that game. I'd probably stick with Jake Delhomme. Good questions there, Jason. Love hearing from you. You're right across the glass from me, so it's not difficult to hear from you. No. Okay, Jason, listen. You and I were here on a late Wednesday afternoon, day before Thanksgiving. The building is clearing out. You know, special bond we have here on this pre-Thanksgiving day. So I'm happy to help you out with your fantasy questions. I'm very curious to know who you're going to end up going with, and I'll be monitoring those as I watch my football tomorrow, too. There you go. We do have an email here, Paul, from London. Paul emails us virtually every week and always appreciate that. Hey, Brian, tough week this week as I got first place back despite Jacobs being out, Brandon Jacobs, and Jay Cutler being useless. This week it's 1-2, and a win will secure a bye. Well, Paul, you are really doing well. I'll take a little bit of credit. How about that? My choice for my team would be Jay Cutler. His other options there at quarterback are Tom Brady, Joe Flacco, Tyler Thigpen. Really no options there. Good stories, Flacco and Thigpen, but certainly Jay Cutler's the guy. Running back, Chris Johnson, Warrick Dunn. That's who he would go with. And then he also has Brandon Jacobs and Peyton Hillis. I'm going to have to check on the Brandon Jacobs status and see what the latest is right there. But Chris Johnson, absolutely love him this week. And Warrick Dunn, I was really high on him going into last week for Tampa Bay. He came through almost 100 yards and a score. And, you know, I do like you know, riding that Warrick Dunn wave. They host New Orleans, so he can definitely run this time. Definitely I would go that way. And then as far as wideouts, Larry Fitzgerald, Wes Welker, Randy Moss, DeSean Jackson. The three that he would go to are Fitzgerald, Welker, and Moss. I've got to agree. I think pretty much every week you're going in that direction. DeSean Jackson would probably have to he's got to make a few more strides before he cracks that top three. Chris Cooley as your tight end, Steven Gostkowski, and Ravens D. Ravens D, got to love the Ravens D, and they face Cincinnati this week. No question right there. Ravens D is a big-time take this week. I lucked out in my other league with Castle, Moss, Falk, and Gostkowski as well, and I think it's the first week both of my teams have won. Well, that's pretty good, and if one of your teams is in the first place and you haven't had multiple teams win in the same week, then that doesn't bode well for the other team, but hey, that's the way it goes. You have two teams like I do, and one does well, you'll take that. Finally, thanks for all the help, and some of us are going to need you in the offseason for keeper leagues. What will we do without your help? I did not pay Paul to say that. I really didn't, Jason. I didn't pay him to say that. I appreciate that, Paul. Hey, you know, I'll talk to the powers that be. Maybe we will do a keeper league offseason show or something like that, maybe on a day that PFW guys do their show during the offseason. And, you know, going into the 2009 campaign.
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding. We'll work on that. And going into the 2009 campaign, we'll maybe do a little draft preview show, something we didn't quite have this year. But, Paul, always appreciate that. Good luck to you this week as you try to secure a bye. We'll be pulling for you. You got a good team there, and we'll see how that goes. Here's another email we've got. Patriots, webradio at patriots.com is the way to go. Hey, B-Lo, for my second running back, I generally go with Willie Parker, but he is questionable. Instead, should I play Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or LaRon McClain, who are my bench running backs? That's from Chris. Well, Chris, generally going with Willie Parker, that's been kind of a toss-up this year, kind of a week-to-week proposition there, not having Willie Parker when he plays. Hey, he plays well. He's a good running back. He is questionable right now, like I said early on. I don't expect him to play. Should you play Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or LaRon McClain? Tough options there. I'd certainly go LaRon McClain. I don't think you can even think about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis right now. You know, he was a great story for a couple weeks, and clearly I think the Patriots feel comfortable using him if they need to. At this point, the only way he's going to give you anything is in a situation like last week against Miami when the Patriots are winning by two touchdowns there at the end, and they're at the goal line. They give McCarry to get in the end zone. It looks like there's a chance they're going to have Lamont Jordan back, which pushes Ben Jarvis Green Ellis even further down the depth chart on the injury report that just came out. Lamont Jordan is listed, while there's no designation yet, he had limited participation in practice with his calf injury, but that limited participation is a step in the right direction after having missed practice and not having practiced for most of the last couple of weeks. Really, it's been a while since he played. But they got Sammy Morris back last week. He did appear to go down with an injury, but is not on the injury report. So between Falk and Morris, and then Heath Evans, and now possibly Lamont Jordan, that just slides Ben Jarvis Green Ellis further down. I think you have a better chance that LaRon McClain gets into the action in the Ravens' normal offense than you do with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis this week, Chris. So thanks for the question there. Monitor the Willie Parker situation. All I said was that I think at this point it looks like he won't play, but don't rule him out just yet. And if you have a chance to wait until Saturday or Sunday for the final verdict on Willie Parker, you should definitely do so. So thank you for the email. Webradio@patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. Now, I would like to say and give myself some credit for last week. Last week, if you don't already know, on Patriots Today, which is our show on Patriots.com, our daily TV show, and we're working on that as we speak down the hallway, so be sure to check that out later on. I do a fantasy lowdown segment each week, usually on Thursdays. It'll be Friday this week. Well, last week was my best week ever. It was my best week ever. I picked Terrell Owens as the guy to start. I picked Donovan McNabb. Thank you. Thank you. No, please. Please, thank you. Donovan McNabb as my guy to start, and Warrick Dunn as my sleeper. Jason, the only reason I'm saying this, I've been so bad at these picks this year. I've been so bad, and I tear myself up.
I've seen your little updates. You listen to me, and I was wrong again. Sorry.
That's right. Hey, you know, it's all in good fun. We try. You know, it's hard to make out what's going on in the NFL and in fantasy football this year. So I'm fully capable of taking the blame when I've had a bad week. But this past week, I was so excited at how good I did. Terrell Owens to start, Donovan McNabb to sit, and Warrick Dunn as a sleeper. Owens, hey, listen, I mean, you might say, hey, Terrell Owens is one of the elite players in the league. Why would you never not start him? Well, for a while there, especially when Brad Johnson was playing, you wouldn't want to start Terrell Owens. He was not playing well. The first Tony Romo game back, you might not want to start Terrell Owens. You don't know what to expect. I just had a feeling between the fact they were playing San Francisco, his former team, and you know he always holds grudges. San Francisco's not playing well, and you just figured Tony Romo would want to get Terrell Owens back involved. He's the kind of guy that a quarterback just needs to keep happy. Well, he has over 200 yards, a 75-yard touchdown. I was very excited to see that and give myself a check mark there. Then, Donovan McNabb. The idea of this who to start, who to sit is, for fantasy purposes, who to start, who to sit. Maybe Andy Reid watched the show. Maybe he watched what I said. He actually did bench Donovan McNabb in real life. That's not exactly what I had in mind. I just thought he'd have a poor performance, which he did, and then he was benched. So, if you followed my advice there on Donovan McNabb and benched him, you probably did all right. And then my sleeper, Warrick Dunn, based on the fact that Ernest Graham was going to be out for the year, all signs from John Gruden pointed to Warrick Dunn carrying a heavier workload, and he did. Scored a touchdown, had some pretty good yardage as well. So the fantasy lowdown segment, for the first time in a while, I've had a couple of decent weeks. This was the first really, really good week. So I was very, very excited about that. And hey, if you happen to be one of the unlucky few who actually does take that advice, then maybe for once I helped you out, and I'm happy about that if I did. Let me know. I'd love to hear about how your week went if you took my advice right there. There's still a few topics we're going to get to, and we're going to take a look at some of the columnists on the web that I like to listen to. Greg Rosenthal on RotoWorld.com has his rankings. We'll take a peek at those. And also Michael Fabiano from NFL.com has some interesting stuff in his column this week, specifically about Matt Castle. We're going to get to that in a little while. And another topic that I've started to have in mind that I want to get your thoughts on, and you can email us at webradio@patriots.com if you have any thoughts on this. As you start looking to your fantasy playoff weeks, it's important to look at matchups. And if you're lucky enough to have locked down a playoff spot early on, relatively early over the last couple weeks or maybe this week, you can start looking at the waiver wire for guys who in weeks 15 and 16 have favorable matchups. And maybe they're not top-of-the-line fantasy guys. Maybe they're not really on your radar for being holding down a roster spot all year. But it's an interesting strategy. Take a look at who plays, say, Detroit in week 15 or 16, and see if there's any fantasy guys that you might want to pick up. I have a couple in mind that we can mention, and I'll bring those up and hear your thoughts on that. And webradio@patriots.com, that's how to email us, 508-543-7482 if you want to call in. We can also, talk about some of these games coming up and these Thanksgiving games that we mentioned earlier and your strategy for having to deal with about a fifth of the NFL slate for this weekend on Thursday and having to work on some of those, roster moves and who to start, who to sit questions so early in the week. Definitely want to get your thoughts on that, and I'll talk about some of the questions I have on for my teams as well. We are coming to you on a Wednesday this week, in case you're tuning in just now, instead of Thursday because of Thanksgiving tomorrow. And, you know, we want to make sure we get the show in this week. And we are here on this Wednesday, the Fantasy Lowdown, here on Patriots.com Radio. You know, we do have a few more things we're going to get to. We're going to take a break right now, and soon we're going to talk to Matt, one of our guys in the building here, who actually sends us emails every week and has some interesting thoughts, and invited him down to the studio to join me for a little bit on this holiday edition of the show. The Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. We'll be right back after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The
boys are back in town, aren't they? What's going on, Jason? We got Matt in the house here, here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Hello, how you doing?
Matt, great to have you here. Matt is one of our weekly emailers. Emails us just about every week. You're here in the building, working for the team, doing a little stuff here and there. Great to have you on board right now. It's great to have a real full-fledged fantasy football freak in the house. I'm called a geek often, a nerd. At the top of the show, Christina every week in our open calls me a fantasy geek. And that's fine. I embrace that. I don't mind that. But, not everybody's really into fantasy. You kind of are, though, huh?
I am, yeah.
You're into fantasy.
I don't know if I would say I'm a freak or a geek.
I'm just kidding
enthusiast,
around.
Maybe. Enthusiast,
that's a perfect word.
Enthusiast.
Perfect word for it. When did you start doing it? Is football the only one you do?
No. I actually do fantasy hockey, which is one that I don't think very many people do.
How about lacrosse or wrestling or tennis?
No. I don't do any of
hockey,
that.
Hockey, not bad, though.
Baseball, I started.
Do you have Milan fantasy. Lucic and do you get points for fighting?
I don't have Milan Lucic, no. I think the only Bruin I have is Michael Ryder, actually.
Okay.
But I started fantasy with baseball when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Instead of doing work in computer class, we used to do fantasy baseball.
Sure.
And then I got into football when I was in college with some of my roommates and been getting after it ever since.
The rest is simply history.
It really is.
It's simply history. All right, let's just start. What are some of the questions you had? You always email me your questions. We can talk about them face-to-face this week. What are some of the key questions?
Nice.
Pretty cool, huh?
My questions this week... I'm always kind of torn between who I want to start, but I'm in kind of an interesting position this week because I locked up a playoff spot with a win last weekend. So that was kind of nice in one of my leagues.
Good for you. Congrats.
It's all
because of the advice you've gotten from me each week, right?
Clearly, it must be because I base all my fantasy moves either, I go with what you say or I just completely disagree with it and I go with the opposite.
I hope for your sake you've been going with the latter much more often than the former because... You haven't been getting as far as you are with my advice. But anyways.
Yeah, one way or the other.
I got you.
The fantasy lowdown helps me out.
Perfect.
But I seem to always – my biggest struggles are between my wide receivers and my running backs. So this week, I've got Marion Barber, who's a guy that I start every week. Pretty much no matter.
Absolutely.
Unless it's a bye.
Right.
Obviously.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't want to start him a bye.
But I have Maurice Jones-Drew, and I feel like he's one of those guys that you need to stick with. Because he could have a big game, but he's been kind of struggling this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got on my bench Jonathan Stewart, who's had some big games, but he's a rookie. The Carolina also, they've got D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
So well, I have a tough time with which one of those guys I'm going to go with.
Yeah, you've got matchup. I mean, that's you're sort of playing the matchup game there. You're sort of playing the feel game. I agree with you, Marion Barber. You start Marion Barber every week. He's one of the top, five or six fantasy performers this year, in my opinion, and I see no reason why that's going to stop, especially with Tony Romo back, and I think that offense is just going to be high-flying all the way through the rest of the season. With the other guys, because you've got a situation there where Maurice Jones-Drew, second-year guy, Jonathan Stewart, first-year guy, it's not like they've established themselves fully as 1,500-yard runners or whatever. So you've got the inexperience factor, and you've got the fact that they're very much in full-fledged tandem running back situations. My feeling, without doing significant investigative research, is with some of these running backs who have done really well this year, they don't really string them together. Sometimes there are favorable matchups and all that. You've got to kind of go with, good matchup. He didn't get a ton of carries last week. Maybe that's just because the matchups didn't favor him last week. I think he's going to get a lot of carries. I think he's going to perform well. Maurice Jones, and sometimes it goes the other way too. Well, I'm hearing bad things about D'Angelo Williams. I don't think he's going to do much this week. I think it's going to be a Jonathan Stewart week. So it's been frustrating in that sense for those guys. As far as this week, I don't know. Maurice Jones-Drew against Houston. Houston's run defense is not very good. Not that this means much from a football standpoint, but I read today Fred Taylor saying that this is the worst Jacksonville team he's been on. He's been on the team for 10 years. I'm wondering if there's something going on there with Fred Taylor. I think this could be a week that's a Maurice Jones-Drew week, potentially. Now, it's a Monday night game, so you'll be sweating it out all weekend, so that's that kind of hurts. Now, as far as Carolina, I'm very high on Jonathan Stewart in general. And this week at Green Bay, interesting matchup. Another team that you can run on, Green Bay, I think, is in the lower third of the league in run D. Loved them a couple weeks ago against Detroit. Both guys had 100 yards. What are you leaning towards right now?
I think right now I'm leaning towards going with Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, I would too.
Because, you know, Houston,
yeah,
they're not great, but the Packers, one of the things I brought with me to try and bring something to the table.
Literally, it's sitting right there on the table.
Paper, it's got, yep, it's, yep, got the worst defenses in, mm-hmm, the league,
yep,
and the matchups.
Yep.
So the Packers have actually allowed 142.9 yards, 4.9 per carry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like that's a pretty favorable matchup. And like you said, a couple weeks ago, where both guys had over 100 yards rushing.
Yep.
So I think right now I'm leaning towards going with Jonathan Stewart,
yeah,
but I feel like I'm not making a bad decision if I go with Maurice Jones.
I agree. And Houston's run D is not all that much better than Green Bay's. I don't have the numbers. You,
right.
You've got the numbers. I don't have the numbers, but as far as the rankings, I know Houston's only slightly ahead of Green Bay. This is one of those that, you know, you just might not know if it's, as far as the number of touches, if it's a Maurice Jones-Drew week or not. I'd lean toward Jonathan Stewart in general, all things being equal. This year, he's just having a better year. He's putting together more big performances than Jones-Drew, who's been a disappointment. So I'd probably agree with you there. I'd probably right now go Barber and Jones-Drew. Barber and Stewart. But it's a tough call. It's a tough call. Well, you mentioned a wide receiver question,
yes,
too.
I've got Moss, and Moss is a guy that I've stuck with the whole season because of the potential for...
How do you not?
He's always got the potential to have a game like he had this past
If you,
game.
Me, or Jason were throwing the ball, you'd have to still have him in your life.
Yeah.
He goes and gets the ball.
And he's that good. He's that kind of guy. And then I've got Dwayne Bowe, who gets a lot of attention from whoever the quarterback is in Kansas,
yep,
City, because they don't have a lot of weapons outside of him and Tony Gonzalez and being able to sort of run the ball with Larry Johnson when he's in there. And then my other guy is Vincent Jackson, who was doing real well when Chris Chambers was out. Now he's kind of dwindled down a little bit, so I'm thinking about maybe plugging in Justin Gage because they're playing – because Tennessee is playing against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like any time you're playing Detroit, it's a good matchup to go with.
That's my theory, too. I just, if you're on a team that has a pretty good offense, and, you know, I mean, Tennessee, you know, for a 11-1 or 10-1 team, they don't have a great offense when you look at their record, but they still have a pretty good offense, a running game, and Kerry Collins. I agree with you fully. You're going against Detroit. You have Tennessee's number one receiver. Take your chances. If Justin Gage gets shut out in that game, you can probably just say, "Hey, luck of the draw. I couldn't see that coming." There's, you know, you go with a guy like that. As far as Moss, who is it? Moss? Oh, Bowe. I like Dwayne Bowe a lot. I think the Tyler Thigpen Dwayne Bowe connection has been surprisingly decent. They're playing Oakland, another crummy team. I mean, Oakland has a decent defense overall. You know, especially as far as against the pass, so not a great defense overall, but against the pass they do. So you'd hesitate, but I like Dwayne Bowe. I like Dwayne Bowe a lot. Moss, you got to start every week. So you start three though. You start three, right?
Start three.
Yeah. So Moss, Bowe.
And then, yep, I'm leaning towards Justin Gage.
Justin Gage,
Or Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards Gage over Jackson too this week. You know, with San Diego's got Atlanta this week. Interesting matchup. I mean, Atlanta, you know, not a great defense, but again, you know, I think I feel better about Tennessee, believe it or not, than San Diego, which is just stunning. You never would have thought that, but I'd probably go Moss, Bowe, Gage, but Vincent Jackson's another good option to have. I mean, I wouldn't rule him out. Let me just read. I was reading earlier today, Michael Fabiano, who's the fantasy guy on NFL.com, and you brought up Randy Moss. He had a column today about Matt Cassel, and just, you know, he starts out basically saying, if I told you back in the preseason that a Patriots quarterback would lead countless fantasy owners into the playoffs, it wouldn't have been much of a shock. But if I told you the quarterback's name was Matt Cassel and not Tom Brady, well, let's just say you probably would have thrown me in a padded room and thrown away the key. He goes on to say, the shocking part of this whole situation is that the Patriots have started to run the same sort of offense as they did with Brady last season, throwing the ball all over the field and almost completely abandoning the run. Cassel, who's deep ball looked like a dead duck earlier in the season, has thrown it 94 times in his last two games. He didn't throw his 94th pass this season until week 5. With just 50 running plays in the last two games, the Patriots have aired it out over 65% of the time. He goes on to give a few more of the stats, but the news isn't only positive for Castle, but it's been a great pick-me-up for the value of both Randy Moss and Wes Welker. Now, like we just said, even when things weren't going as smoothly for Castle and the Patriots offense, you still have to start Randy Moss, and you pretty much have to start Wes Welker just because the ball is thrown to him so many times. Well, that was when the offense wasn't really clicking and when they weren't, you know, throwing for 400 yards a game. Now that they are, and when I say that they are, I mean, it's two games. It's not like this is a 12-game trend, and it might stall this week. But it is amazing how much the value of Moss and Welker change when Matt Castle is doing what he's doing. And it's amazing. I mean, you're a Moss owner. What have been your thoughts as the season has gone on?
Well, like I said, he's a guy that I feel like I always have to start because he can always get in the end zone. I mean, even when they weren't, when things weren't going great for them, they weren't really clicking. He still could get in the end zone. I think he's got 8 touchdowns.
Yeah. He had 5 going to this past game. Had 3 more. Yeah.
And I think Castle's thrown maybe 13. So I mean he's definitely the guy that Matt Castle's looking for in the end zone. So I think he's always good for that. And he had a couple of 100-yard games even early in the season. I mean, I think that first game against Kansas City, he had 100 yards.
Yep, he had the 2 big plays, the touchdown and that first deep ball out of the end zone from Castle.
Yeah, so, I mean, no matter who your receivers are, I mean, you're generally not going to get a 30-point game out of one of your receivers like I did last weekend. But, I mean, that doesn't mean he's not going to be good for, you know, 6 to 10 points every week. Because he's an option in the end zone and because he's so talented.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the interesting thing with Welker is he's got this just stunning streak of consecutive games with 6 or more passes. He's broken his own record now, 4 straight games, I think. I think it was 7 was the 7th game to start a season with 6 or more passes was breaking the record, and he's just continued to obliterate that. He just hasn't gotten into the end zone a ton, and you know, you feel good about the yardage. You feel good if you're in a points per reception league. You feel very good about that. You'd hope he gets a few more touchdowns, but that's all kind of happens to, you know, it's hard to predict that. But you know, and then you know the other interesting thing is the Patriots tight ends. And I kind of thought when Brady went down and Castle came in that Ben Watson would be a key guy. I mean, that you figure, well, the deep ball probably isn't going to work as well. Go with the shorter passing game, sort of a safety guard, you know, a safeguard, kind of like, you know, Bledsoe early in his career with Ben Coates. And that hasn't really worked out. So, you know, I had Ben Watson on my fantasy team, one of my teams when I started out the year, actually as my backup tight end. And you know, I cut him a couple weeks into the season. It just wasn't really working out. So you just never know with some of these guys and some of these quarterbacks to take over. But Moss and Welker are guys you got to start each week. Any other questions on the lineup for this week? Or
the only other one I had, And I'm not sure how much of a question. Well, it is a little bit of a tough question because at tight end, I'm looking at Jason Witten and Bo Scaife. Mm-hmm. And Witten is playing against Seattle, who, you know, isn't doing anything special defense.
Nothing special.
And the same goes for the Lions,
yep.
who Scaife is playing against.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that one's kind of a win-win either way you
kind
go.
Kind of a win-win.
For a tight end.
Right. I'd lean towards Witten. He's the better, player. He's the more established player. He's got all credit that Kerry Collins gets, you know, he deserves. He's got the better quarterback. I'd feel more comfortable with Tony Romo throwing the ball than Kerry Collins, all things being equal. And Detroit's defense is the worst. Tight ends are tricky. Sometimes you never know. Maybe Terrell Owens catches 15 balls this week, and that means Witten only catches 2. You never know. I'd lean towards Witten. But I like Bo Scaife a lot. And if it wasn't between Witten, Witten's one of the very, very few tight ends that I would take ahead of Scaife this week. And actually, as we're talking about that, let me just quickly take a look. Greg Rosenthal on RotoWorld.com is a guy who I always like to look at. He's got Jason Witten as his number 3 ranked tight end and Scaife number 8. To me, that's a little low for Scaife. He's got Tony Gonzalez number 1 against Oakland, Antonio Gates number 2 against Atlanta. You go with those two guys. I mean, those are two established guys who are such focal points of their respective offenses. You go with them. And then Witten. Cooley against the Giants, don't really like him this week. He's not bad. I mean, he's not in the bottom tier of tight ends. Don't really like him a lot this week. Dustin Keller, Denver, yeah, you know, I mean, he's had a couple of good games overall. I still think I'd like Scaife ahead of him. And he's got Dallas Clark and Kellen Winslow. Don't really like Winslow this week. He's battled an injury. Now another change of quarterback. They're playing Indy, who's playing well. And, you know, Dallas Clark is another one who, you know, week after week, I mean, you could kind of rely on him. He plays Cleveland. But I very much like Scaife. I'd probably lean towards Witten, though, in this case.
Yeah, I know they throw to the tight ends a lot in Tennessee. But like you were saying, between Castle and Ben Watson, you know, what you thought was going to happen there, that's kind of been happening in Dallas, I feel like, for a little while, where
yeah.
If Romo doesn't feel like he can get the ball to T.O. or now to Roy Williams, I think he feels like he can always get it to Jason Witten, because Witten has been, a pretty good point getter all season long.
Let me ask you this, and I brought this up early on, more of a strategy philosophy question. I know, we make fantasy football into bigger than it really should be, but as long as we're spending a full hour talking fantasy football each week, we can make it seem like it's bigger than it should be. And you're a guy, you're in the playoff, or what'd you say about your playoff?
I'm in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs.
Both of my leagues.
You're in the playoffs in both of your leagues, and are you in sort of a standard sort of league where weeks 15 and 16 of the NFL season are the playoff weeks?
Yeah, we've got one league is actually starting this week because of the amount of teams.
Okay.
There's 17 teams, so I'm not sure how many make the playoffs, but just because of the sheer number of teams, the playoffs are extended. But the other league is 13, 14, 15 are the playoffs.
Well, over the course of a season, you make your roster moves, you make changes, whether it be based on injury or guys who just haven't panned out. Now, if you're lucky enough to clinch a playoff spot early on, you can kind of start looking at some of the matchups during those playoff weeks, and you've got to look at the NFL slate for those weeks. Do you feel like looking and making roster moves at this point in the year, if you've already clinched a playoff spot, geared toward those playoff weeks, is that something you consider? I mean, do you look at who some of your guys are playing in weeks 15 and 16, and if they're tough matchups, I better look at the waiver wire and find some better matchups?
Oh, definitely, yeah, because, you can lose a game here or there, during your regular season, but, you don't want to have that tough matchup where you think the guy might not do much, and that ends up killing you. So
Right. That's
definitely something I look at. I mean, I try to be as active as possible on the waiver wire, just to, even just to pick up guys in case something happens to one of my other guys, or if it's a guy I think could have some breakout performances. I scooped up Donnie Avery a couple of weeks ago. He had some big games. David Garrard I grabbed off the waiver wire when one of my buddies dumped him, and he had a big game against Detroit. So I kind of always try to pay attention to who's playing who throughout the season, but then it definitely becomes very important in the playoffs, and those are matchups I definitely look at those weeks.
Yeah, and it's incredible. I mean, I have Drew Brees in one of my leagues, and Drew Brees, you're going to start every week. He's one of those quarterbacks who, even if they're playing the top-ranked defense, you're going to start him. If you're lucky, if I'm lucky enough, and it doesn't look this way, but if I'm lucky enough to be in my league's championship game, which is week 16 of the NFL slate at Detroit, unbelievable. It'd be tremendous. I've got one for you. If you are looking for a wide receiver, this is you, Matt, and you, anyone who's listening, here's a guy who you're going to want to consider. I'm not saying pick him up and start him for sure, but you're going to want to consider Devon Bess. Devon Bess of Miami. Greg Camarillo just went down. And who does Miami play in week 15 and 16 of the NFL season? They host San Francisco, and they're at Kansas City. I think if you pick up Devon Bess right now, and I'm sure he's not owned in all that many leagues, depending on how deep your league is, he's a guy who I've been looking at. I can't say I've been looking at him well before this past week, but this week, with Greg Camarillo out for the year, he had 5 catches and 87 yards. He has 1 touchdown on the year. He had 5 for 87 last week against the Patriots. He's a guy I have my eye on that I'm going to want to pick up in one of my leagues, because if I'm lucky enough to be in the playoffs, I think he's a guy you can exploit. That's just one example of a guy that, I'm going to do a little more research on this, because I'm very curious to see what some of the other matchups are as I try to plan out my own playoff hopes and for other people as well. Very interesting to see. And I've been high on whoever's playing Detroit this year, whoever's playing Kansas City, whoever's playing Cincinnati. Find the playmakers on those teams and play them. So, if I'm looking at Kansas City, and I'm just going to pull up their schedule right now, so Kansas City plays San Diego and Miami in weeks 15 and 16. A guy like Vincent Jackson, or a guy like, even Jacob Hester. I mean, maybe if you have some flexibility, you pick up a Jacob Hester, and what if LaDainian Tomlinson goes down, or Darren Sproles, LaDainian Tomlinson goes down the next week or two, maybe Jacob Hester is a guy who you could actually have starting on your fantasy team in an NFL playoff week. It's interesting to look at some of these matchups.
It really is, especially when you take into account some of the teams that approach those last couple of games of the season differently. I mean, you've got teams that will sometimes, you know, sit a couple of guys if they've got a playoff spot locked up, so you have to keep things like that in mind. Then you've got rookies starting to play a little bit more, so those are things that you have to keep in mind. So the matchups are definitely something that you have to keep in mind in advance when you're looking at your playoff roster, especially if there's guys, like you said, Devon Best, who might be available now.
Yep.
But come those weeks when everybody starts seeing who Miami's playing in those last couple
right.
of games are probably going to get after him. And if he gets a couple of more looks now that Camarillo's out.
Exactly. Before we wrap it up, just real, real quick, looking at a few of the rankings going into this week, courtesy of Greg Rosenthal, RotoWorld.com. The top five quarterbacks he's got, Tony Romo against Seattle. No question there. Peyton Manning against Cleveland, Drew Brees against Tampa, Kurt Warner against Philly, and Jay Cutler against the Jets. Top five running backs, he's got Marion Barber against Seattle. So there's Dallas having the number one QB and number one running back. Adrian Peterson against Chicago. Frank Gore against Buffalo. Chris Johnson against Detroit. Here's Houston. There's Tennessee for you. And Marshawn Lynch against San Francisco. The top wideouts, oh boy. Two Zona guys and then a Dallas guy. Anquan Boldin, 1. Larry Fitzgerald, 2. Terrell Owens, 3. Andre Johnson, 4. And Roddy White, one of the surprise wideouts of the year. I'm lucky enough to have him on one of my teams. He's number 5. And then a tight end, we quickly touched on this, Gonzalez, Gates, Witten, Cooley, and Keller. The top five defenses, Ravens against Cincinnati. Ravens number one just about every week. The Titans against Detroit, no question there. The Steelers against the Patriots. Steelers do have the number one ranked defense in the NFL. Patriots maybe the hottest offense in the league, so that's very interesting right there. Giants against Washington and the Bears against Minnesota. Interesting rankings right there.
They really are. The defense is something I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to this year just because I've got individual defensive players, IDPs, in one of my leagues. The other one, I had to make a couple of defensive changes in the other one, but I had the Eagles, who have been fairly consistent. Not great, but, you know, in a league with a lot of teams, sometimes it's hard to drop
sure.
and pick up defenses all the time. Really, the only players that are available in that league are kickers at this point, but But so defenses are it's interesting to play with the individual defensive players. If anybody listening plays with that,
yep.
It's kind of neat. It adds another element to it. I mean, when Gerard Mayo had 20 some odd
yeah.
tackles the other
yeah.
night, I mean, that led me to a win. And
you
wouldn't think that you'd be led to a win by one single defensive player, but it happens.
You wouldn't think so. Matt, you've been leading yourself to a bunch of wins, it seems. All because of the
fantasy
loadout.
Hey,
Matt, in all honesty, thanks for coming down here. Always good to chat with you, and it's been fun getting your emails over the course of the season, but good to talk face-to-face as well, and maybe we'll do it again sometime
yeah.
as the season goes on.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. Well, this is the Fantasy Lowdown. It is a Wednesday. Hopefully you weren't thrown off too much by this. We're not coming to you on Thursday. I think we actually may be replaying this at some point during the week as well. So, you know, if you're listening to this after the Thursday games, hey, can't help you on that anymore, but still a full slate of games. As always, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. You can email us at any point during the week. We will have it ready to go. We'll be back at our normal time, 4 to 5, here on patriots.com next Thursday, which really is the last regular season fantasy week in most leagues. The Patriots play the Steelers. Check out Patriots today on patriots.com, and we'll be blogging from the Patriots-Steelers game on Sunday. My thanks to Jason. This is the Fantasy Lowdown.